This is the Video School Online Podcast with Phil Ebner, session number one. Let's go.
Welcome to the Video School Online Podcast, where it's all about learning how to make better videos. And now, here's your host, Phil Ebner.
Hey, what's up? This is Phil Ebner, and I'm excited to be with you today in the very first Video School Online Podcast. Thank you for being here. If you found us through iTunes, I'm very happy to have you here. If you found us through the site, videoschoolonline.com, thank you for checking us out as well. Just so you guys know, videoschoolonline.com is a place for all of you guys and girls to make better videos. It's kind of a hub that I started where I have lots of free tips and tricks along with my online courses, this podcast, ebooks in the future, and everything that you need to make better videos. So, my name is Phil Ebner, and I want to just talk a little bit about my background, about what this podcast is going to be about, just so you have an idea going forward, you know, what is going to be in the podcast. Basically, the podcast serves one purpose. It's to help you make better videos. How am I going to do that? Well, one, I'm going to have episodes where I give you tips, you know, one-on-one. I'll just be, you know, picking a topic, talking about it, giving you like the best tips that I have. And all of these are going to be tangible tips that you can take with you from this podcast and implement it right away. The other type of podcast that I'm going to have are interviews with fellow filmmakers, fellow video creators, fellow creatives, people just in the creative fields that will help you make better videos. So I already have interviews lined up with a couple documentary filmmakers, cinematographers, producers, some graphic artists. So all these people are going to, you know, give me their experience, how they got to be where they are now, and give us some great tips, you know, for myself and for you to take home and make better videos. So in this episode, I just want to talk a little bit about myself. I'm going to give you my background, how I got started in filmmaking, where I'm at today, and why I started this podcast. So let's just do it. Let's get straight into it. I'm going to be as honest as I can. And my background, I grew up in Los Angeles, California, and I, you know, started making videos at a young age. I used to grab my parents' Hi-8 video camera, take out my Star Wars action figures, and put together little puppet shows that I would film. That grew into a love for using the camera itself. And when I was an early teen, I got my first digital camera. It was right when digital cameras were coming out. They were a big item. And my camera even had a 30-second video clip option where you can take, it was like super bad quality, but back then it was so awesome to be able to take a 30-second clip straight from your video camera or digital camera and plug it into your computer, and I would edit it on Windows Movie Maker on an old PC, and I made lots of little montages of, you know, all sorts of things. I would literally just go outside, ride around the neighborhood on my skateboard, and shoot little snippets of videos. And I actually made some pretty cool little videos that I'm still proud to, you know, have, and to say that was my first little video. That love of just trying to, you know, experiment with a camera made me kind of the one of the go-to guys in high school for video making. So people in classes, teachers said, oh, do a project, make a video. You know, people would come to me, and I eventually got a little mini DV camera where I could, you know, shoot longer than 30 seconds. And I would be that go-to guy. We would edit these great little videos in high school. And on top of that, I started a baseball talk TV show in our local cable channel, which actually grew to three cities of San Dimas, Glendora, and Laverne. and Glendora, actually. And it was a great experience for just over 3 years. My buddy Christian Hartnett and I, and at the start, Justin Dillon, we would do weekly episodes, and they really got me going in this direction towards making videos. Again, just pushing me down this path to filmmaking. We actually did over 140 episodes within 3 years. So it was awesome, and we were very dedicated. And that basically got me into college, because when I was applying to college, I was debating on, you know, going to film school, going to doing a business major, and I ultimately decided that I wanted to go to film school. So I applied to a bunch of colleges in California, including USC, UCLA, UC Berkeley, Loyola Marymount University, Chapman, and some others. I got into all of them except for USC, unfortunately, but actually I wasn't even planning on going to USC. I didn't want to at all. And I really wanted to go to Chapman at the start, and then it came down to the wire between Chapman and LMU. UC Berkeley gave me close to a full ride, which made it a tough decision, but Berkeley didn't have a film program that I wanted to join. I was going in as a business major. And so it came down between LMU and Chapman. My best friend, Christian Hartnett, was going to Chapman for broadcast journalism to continue our love of baseball analysis. And he's now on his path towards becoming a baseball commentator. And I was more of the behind-the-scenes guy, so I was going in for film production. One day I went to LMU when I was making my decision, and I was just walking around the campus with my parents, sat down in the chapel, and there was literally a voice telling me, this is where you have to go. This is where you're meant to be. So I listened to that little voice that was inside of me, ended up going to LMU, and it was the best 4 years of my life. It was super awesome. College was great. The first couple years were amazing. Just getting into film school was crazy. You know, I never really put my hands like on a professional camera. I've never been on a film set before. Using professional lighting was new to me. And just the whole college experience was, I mean, I'm sure if you guys went to college, especially if you moved out and you actually like went somewhere out where you weren't just commuting, you know how much of a period of change and growth that is. You know, just being away from home, learning to deal with things on your own, and just maturing and, you know, finding your path in life. And those first 2 years were a lot of fun, and then the last couple years of college were more focused on my major as a film major. And one of the best experiences I had at LMU was being able to study abroad in Europe. They had a German study abroad program where it was specifically for film majors. It was a satellite program where we studied full-time. It was just film classes, so we took our, you know, cinematography, editing, directing, and a documentary production class, and it culminated in each of the students producing a short documentary, which was part, it was our junior thesis project. I made mine in Switzerland and across Europe, but it was actually about cycling, the cycling culture in Europe. I've always loved riding my bike. I got into the Tour de France, just, you know, watching it with my uncle who's from Switzerland. And I just wanted to go check out the cycling culture around Europe. I had some connections in Switzerland, so I was able to make a great short documentary interviewing the owner of an up-and-coming electric bike store, interviewing someone who teaches classes about riding to work, because cycling is so big there that they actually have, you know, professional, you know, a job, basically a full-time job, this guy would just have groups come and he would teach them how to ride their bikes in the city. And then I also interviewed some workers at a bike rental stand, it was like a bike shop slash rental station along Lake Geneva, and they would employ previously homeless, you know, men and women, give them the skill of taking care of bikes, and also give them the job and a paycheck at the end of every week, you know, doing that for them. And it was a great story, not only about, you know, how about cycling, but about how cycling is actually making the lives of people better. And that was basically what the film was all about, is just how cycling was making people's lives better. And anyways, it was a great doc. It ended up being one of the top six in the program. Went on to play at a few film festivals across the United States, including LMU's Film Outside the Frame Festival, which is the kind of the Oscars for Loyola Marymount. It was nominated for Best Documentary, and it was great, great experience making that documentary. And it planted the seed for one of my passions, which is traveling and documentaries, travel documentaries. And it's something that I want to explore more in my future. And it's kind of taken a back seat right now just due to actually graduating and needing a job and needing to get paid and make a living and pay off my huge amount of student loans. But that's still one of my passions. And in college, because I had more free time and that luxury of not necessarily needing a full-time job, I turned that passion for travel into a service project my senior year and combined that with producing my senior thesis film, which took place in India. My friend Vince Patton, who I'm going to be having on the next show, he is a filmmaker as well and a great cinematographer. He and I, we put together a service project in India where we went to a rural village, and we helped out with the nonprofit, the Real Medicine Foundation. And there, we helped with some malnutrition centers where kids would come in who are severely malnourished, and they would come and get better. We helped out at a school, and just all around the community, we're helping out. We were running around, planting plants and teaching kids and fixing up solar ovens that would take the sun's energy and heat food for them without any electricity or gas, and building composting tumblers for them to reuse their waste. And it was a great experience. And the whole time I was searching for what my documentary was going to be about, because I hadn't planned that out beforehand. So, there was one day where we were helping out at the malnutrition center. Lots of moms were coming in with their kids, and this one mom came in with her kid with what looked to be her, you know, baby, her one-year-old maybe, and we later found out that the girl, Asha, the young girl, was weighing 8 pounds, but she was 3 years old. And it was due to a lack of education, getting some infections that, you know, the girl wasn't able to keep down food. And they're living in this rural village with no, you know, doctors, no nothing. And the team of Real Medicine Foundation went out, and part of what they do is going out in the community and just making sure everyone's healthy. And they found this family, found this girl in such severe shape who was on the verge of dying. And as soon as she came into the station, I, you know, knew that this was going to be the center of my documentary. For the next couple of weeks, we filmed around the medical center, filmed the baby, and got interviews with the people working there, along with the volunteers at Real Medicine Foundation. And luckily, the girl survived, Asha, and her name means hope, which is just so fitting, and that ended up being the title of my documentary. So Asha, the documentary, was produced, and it was one of the best films from LMU that year as well. It was nominated for the school's film festival for Best Picture, Best Documentary, and Best Cinematography. And it was a great experience. And those two projects, Bike Life in Europe and Asha in India, you know, really helped me out and got me going down this path and got me some work because of it. And while I was in college, a big thing that you do is doing internships. And I was interning, lucky enough, I got this internship at Participant Media, which is a great company in Beverly Hills. They've produced a lot of great movies. This past year, they helped produce Lincoln and No, the Chilean film about Pinochet. Actually, that's coming out right about now in February 2013. They also did An Inconvenient Truth, Waiting for Superman, Last Call at the Oasis, tons of great documentaries. So it was a great place to be. I was on like an 8-month contract. I was doing video editing, and I jumped ahead of myself. I was entering there, and then after graduation, I got an 8-month contract. So that internship led to a great job. And I was editing short documentaries for their website, Take Part. And it was a great, great experience. Unfortunately, the commute was super long. I was living, you know, within biking distance for a while, but because I started having to pay back my student loans, I had to move back home with my parents, and the commute was 2-3 hours a day through Los Angeles, across Los Angeles, actually, and I was taking public transportation, which was terrible. I was taking, at one point, my bike to the train station, to the subway, to the bus, to my skateboard, and then back again at night. And it was just terrible. So I needed to change. So I did freelancing for a while after that 8-month contract ended. I got hired to do graphics for this feature-length documentary, which was awesome. I was working on that for about a month, but then the funders pulled and they didn't want to complete the documentary, so that left me with, you know, more freelancing. I started shooting weddings, which was a great love of mine, and I actually have a new course out online on thevideoschoolonline.com about, it's the complete guide to wedding videography. So if anyone's interested in that, or even if you're interested in wedding photography, go check it out, because I give you all the tips and tricks for building a business. I went from charging $250 per wedding to over $2,500 per wedding within 1 year. So go check that out, videoschoolonline.com. Look under the courses and you'll see the complete guide to wedding videography. So I was freelancing for a while, getting lots of jobs, and it was pretty steady work, but it was tough. Freelancing is tough because, you know, you may have a job lined up for the next month, but then after that, you got to be looking for another one. Actually, while you're working, you have to be looking for jobs constantly. And that takes a toll because, you know, it gets tiring. So I started applying for full-time jobs, and I landed this job at a college in Irvine, a private school, on their media team doing video and photos. And so it's a full-time job at the school doing marketing materials for them. And that, it's pretty cool. I'm still there today. It's a full-time gig. And so all this Video School Online stuff is all part-time. After coming home from work, I open up my laptop, start recording podcasts, start, you know, doing courses, writing blogs, and that's what I'm doing now. But how did I start the site? How did I start Video School Online? Part of my job was to research online education, because we're currently at the school, we're producing a lot of content for our online courses. And so I had to research what, you know, what that really was. And all these sites started popping up about, you know, online education, new education platforms, And, you know, it's a huge thing. Just within the past couple years, sites like Udemy and edX and Coursera have popped up. All these courses where people can take, sometimes even like college courses, for free or for a small price. For Udemy, you can teach, you know, anyone can teach a subject and charge for it. And I thought, that's crazy, but that's awesome. And I thought, well, I could do that. I'm an expert in my field. I've been editing for over 10 years. I graduated with a bachelor degree in film production. I specialize in documentary making and editing. And, you know, I definitely have taught my friends how to edit. I've taught my friends how to use a camera before. You know, I could do this online and try it out. So that's exactly what I did. I tried it out. I started my first course, the Video Editing 101 course. And at first I had it for free, and I got, you know, I was getting a lot of students. I got 50 students or so, and I was getting some great reviews, and I was like, hey, I might as well try charging for this. So I started charging a small price, and there were still people signing up. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, not only am I teaching the world and, you know, giving of myself and my knowledge and helping people, but I'm making a little bit of side cash, and that's awesome. And so I made a couple more courses, green screen editing and kinetic typography, and then I was like, I need a place to a home for all of this. I want to do more. I don't want to just do paid courses. I want to do a blog or some sort of website where I can give free content. I want to start a YouTube channel where I could do free content. I want to start a podcast where I can give free content. And I want to write ebooks where I can give content. And so that became the birth of videoschoolonline.com. I was searching for a good website title. I found that one was available. That instant, I bought it up. And within a couple weeks, I had the site up and running. And now I have, you know, lots of people checking out the site. I've got great materials on there already. The first series that I have been putting out is a Make Better Video series, which each week I take a topic within video production and give you my top tips, such as, you know, video editing tips, shooting better video, choosing better topics, better video distribution. And they're great, great posts. So check them out on videoschoolonline.com. And so that is why I started the website. And part of the website was always a goal to start this podcast. I've dabbled with podcasting before when I was doing my baseball talk show, but it never, you know, caught on, and it was a lot of work, and it just wasn't, my heart wasn't in it. But this is something that my heart is in, and I feel like I want to give back. I want to give back to all the people that helped me get where I am today. Even though I'm still at the start of my career, I'm still, you know, I haven't even like stepped full into my career yet. I'm like, I'm not at a place where, you know, I want to settle yet, and I know there's so many things left in this life for me, but in this moment I know that, like, I have a lot of people to give thanks to, and I have a lot of knowledge that will help people out. And with the boom of videos and video content online, I know that this is something that is going to be more important as, you know, all companies start producing video content. And every website has video content. You know, there's going to be a day when 99% of companies have video content. It's almost there already. And up until now, you know, people have been, you know, the top 25% of companies or video productions are great. But then there's, you know, most 3/4 that aren't that great. It's kind of trash. And so I want this podcast and this website to teach you some great tips about making videos. So that's why I started this. And that basically wraps up this episode. I'm going to try to keep all these episodes, you know, around a half hour. I figure that's a good amount of time. I listen to lots of podcasts, especially, you know, when you're just driving or, you know, if you're at work doing mindless stuff. I find that it helps pass the time, and you can get great information and get really inspired through podcasts. It's because of one of my favorite podcasts, Smart Passive Income, with Pat Flynn, that I started this whole, you know, website and really got into it. He taught me lots of tips about, you know, just taking charge and crushing it, and, you know, really just doing it. Because so many people have ideas that they just wait and don't do. And with films even, or videos, they think of great ideas, but then they never implement them. And so I guess that's my very first tip in this first episode is, if you have an idea, just do it. Start it. However, you know, whatever way you can start it, start it. And there's a good way to start making a video, which is writing down your idea, coming up with a storyline, pre-planning it. And there's the bad way, just to go start shooting. But either way is better than no way. So I hope that if you guys have an idea, if you want to start making videos, do it. Go get a camera, invest some time and money in learning how to use it, and make a video. I hope that my website will help you make that video great. So thank you for listening to this podcast. I'm really excited about it. I hope you are too. And next time, which I'm going to be producing these about once a month for now. If you guys want more than once a month, let me know. And please give me a rating in iTunes. I would love it to get some good ratings. And if, you know, give me honest feedback too as well. You can always contact me at videoschoolonline@gmail.com. That's my email address that I respond to. And then, of course, check us out on www.videoschoolonline.com. Thank you for listening, and I will see you or talk to you next time.